السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله، الحمد لله حمد عباده الشاكرين الذاكرين، حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده، وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعن جميع الصحابة والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. We continue inshallah in our study group of the life of the second successor after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Faruq, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. And we went through the Khilafah, the succession of Abu Bakr, and how within 2 years or close to that, he was able, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to establish the rule of Islam and the government of Islam within Arabia after a lot of tumultuous time and tribulation that went through the Muslim Ummah. And at the end of about 2 years and 3 months, Abu Bakr became physically ill and he becomes distressed with sickness. And he realizes that he may not survive that illness. And what he did is Abu Bakr gathered the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet, rahimahullah, the Prophet's companion, and he tells them, إِنَّنِي إِنَّهُ قَدْ نَزِلَ بِي مَا تَرَوْنَ وَلَا أَظُنَّنِي إِلَّا مَيِّتٌ لِمَا بِي. He said that you see what is happening to me and I think that I will not survive this. I think I will die of this illness. وَقَدْ أَطْلَقَ اللَّهُ أَيْمَانَكُمْ مِنْ بَيْعَتِي. And your pledges is returned back to you, that you are free. I'm not your Khalifa anymore. وَحَلَّ عَنْكُمْ عِقْدَتِي وَرَدَّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَمْرَكُمْ فَأَمِّرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُمْ فَإِنَّكُمْ إِنْ أَمَّرْتُمْ فِي حَيَاتِي كَانَ أَجْدَرَ أَلَّا تَخْتَلِفُوا مِنْ بَعْدِي. Abu Bakr said, if you choose a successor while I'm alive, it is prudent that you do that so you will not have division and conflict after I die. Because he saw what could have happened right after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Sahaba discussed it among themselves, and they came back to Abu Bakr and they said, رَأَيْنَا يَا خَلِيفَةَ اللَّهِ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ رَأْيَكَ. That he said, we will take your opinion. We will choose what you would choose for us. So Abu Bakr said, أَمْهِلُونِي حَتَّى أَنْظُرَ لِلَّهِ وَلِدِينِهِ وَلِعِبَادِهِ. Abu Bakr said, give me time and I will contemplate, I will ponder over this, and I will choose what is good for Allah, what is good for his religion, and what is good for the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he called one of the closest companions to him, and that is Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, may Allah be pleased with him, one of the 10 that are given the glad tiding of paradise. And he said, أخبرني عن عمر بن الخطاب. Tell me what you know about عمر بن الخطاب. So Abdul Rahman said, هو والله أفضل من رأيك فيه. He said, he is better what you think of him. Whatever good you are thinking of him, whatever how good you think he is even better than what you think. And then he called another important companion, Uthman ibn Affan, another one of the 10 that are closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said the same thing, أخبرني عن عمر بن الخطاب. And Uthman said, أنت أخبر به. He said, you know him better than I do. You're closer to Umar than I am. And Abu Bakr said, على ذلك يا أبا عبد الله. Even though, tell me, what do you know of Umar? Uthman said, اللهم. And he is making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his witness. He said, اللهم علمي به أن سريرته خير من علانيته. That what he hides, what is in his heart, what settles in heart is even better than what he shows. What he shows is very good. What he shows is a lot of iman, a lot of strong faith, and a lot of strength in holding the aqidah. But Uthman is saying, what I know about Umar is what he holds in is even better than what he shows. وَأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ فِينَا مِثْلَهُ. And there is no one among us that is as good or equal to Umar. And this is important to say that, to see how the Sahaba thought of Umar. What was Umar status among the Sahaba? What were they thinking about their companion, Umar? Abu Bakr said, يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ والله لو تركته ما عدتك. Umar, Abu Bakr said, I think of him the same way that you do. Then he called one of the important, the most important Ansari at that time, Usayd ibn Hudayr, Sayyid al-Ansar. So he said, Usayd said, Allahumma a'lamuhu al-khirata ba'dak. I think he's the best man among us after you. يَرْضَى لِلْرِضَى وَيَسْخَطُ لِلْسَخَطُ. He said he is settled, he loves what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and he hates what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates about Umar. وَالَّذِي يُسِرُّ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الَّذِي يُعْلِنُ. And what he hides is even better than what he announces. وَلَنْ يَلِيَ هَذَا الْأَمْرَ أَحَدٌ أَقْوَى عَلَيْهِ مِنْهِ. And nobody would be stronger to take this rule for the Muslim Ummah, the succession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is better than Umar. And this is very important for Abu Bakr, because if we remember on the day of Saqifa, the conflict was between the Muhajireen and the Ansar. There was not much conflict among the Muhajireen, except for the situation we spoke about who should be Khalifa. The whole conflict was, should it be from the Muhajireen or should it be from the Ansar? So the testimony and the opinion of Usayd ibn Hudayr was very important, and that's what Usayd ibn Hudayr, the Ansari, the elite of the Ansar, thought of Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased on him. So again, Abu Bakr discussed this with Sa'id ibn Zayd, also one of the 10 that are given the glad tiding, and he is the brother-in-law of Umar ibn Khattab. He is the husband of Fatima ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased all of them. And everybody agreed that Umar would be the perfect choice for succession, except for one Sahabi that did not disagree but gave a comment, give an opinion to Abu Bakr, and that was Talha ibn Ubaydullah, and one of the very important Sahaba. And he said, مَا أَنْتَ قَائِلٌ لِرَبِّكَ إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عَنْ إِسْتِخْلَافِكَ عُمَرًا عَلَيْنَا وَقَدْ تَرَى غِلْظَتَهُ. He said to Abu Bakr, what do you say to Allah when he will ask you about giving this to Umar, and you know how Umar is strict and tight and strong and rough with the Sahaba. And Abu Bakr was laying down because he was sick, and he said, sit me up. Now, he wanted to respond to this serious allegation that he is choosing a man that will treat the Muslim Ummah roughly. So he sat up, he said, أجلسوني أَبِاللَّهِ تُخَوِّفُونَنِي. Are you trying to scare me of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And there is Abu Bakr, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if the faith of this whole entire ummah was put in one scale, and the faith of Abu Bakr was put in the other scale, then the faith, the iman of Abu Bakr would be stronger, would be heavier in the scale than the faith of this entire ummah. And he said, are you trying to scare me of Allah? I mean, he's about to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when most people that don't have a strong iman as Abu Bakr will have it then, because it's just about to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be responsible for our action. He said, are you trying to scare me that I'm making this for any earthly purposes? He said, خَابَ مَنْ تَزَوَّدَ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ بِظُلْمٍ. He said, that will be a loser who will do injustice to you at this position. He said, how would I do injustice to you? How would I mischoose for you intentionally? He said, أقول, here's what I will say to Allah. Umar said, أقول اللهم استخ أبو بكر. Umar, here's what Abu Bakr will say about Umar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakallah khair. He said, Abu Bakr said, اللهم استخلفت عليهم خير أهلك. He said, I will say to Allah that I gave this to the best of them, to the best of your people, to the best of the believers. And then he said, defending Umar and explaining to people why Umar is so rough with the Sahaba. He said, ذلك, he is rough with you because, لأنه يراني رقيقا. Because he sees that I am very soft, that I'm soft with you. ولو أفضل أمر إليه لترك كثيرا مما عليه. But if he becomes the Khalifa, then that would change. Then he will go back to his nature that is soft with the mu'min. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about those believers, أذلة على المؤمنين عزة على الكافرين. They are humble and even to the degree of humility among the believers, but they're strong with the non-believers. They defender of faith. And then he wrote a letter saying, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هذا ما عهد أبو بكر ابن أبي قحافة في آخر عهده في الدنيا خارجا منها وأول عهده بالآخرة داخلا فيها. This is the pledge of Abu Bakr. This is the testimony of Abu Bakr in his last days or last stage of this earth, of this life, earthly life, walking away from it. And his first stage with the hereafter coming into it. حيث يؤمن الكافر, when the unbeliever sees the truth. ويوقن الفاجر, and faith settles in the hearts of those who do not have it. ويصدق الكاذب, and the liar will say the truth. He said that's when justice is obvious to everybody and the truth is obvious to everybody. إني لم آل الله ورسوله ودينه ونفسي وإياكم خيرا. He said that I will intentionally choose the best for what is to me good for the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his religion and myself and yourself. And that is Umar ibn al-Khattab. فَإِنْ عَدَلَ فَذَلِكَ ظَنِّي بِهِ. If he is just and fair, then this is what I think he will be. وَعِلْمِي فِيهِ وَإِنْ بَدَّلَ فَلِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَكْتَسَبْ. But if he changed what I know about him, then he will be accountable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْخَيْرُ أَرَدْتُ. And I intended only good. وَلَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ. And I don't know the future. I don't know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained and decreed. And then he finished and closed his statement, وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. And those who transgress, they will see and they will have to face what is the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said about this position, and we know who is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He said, أَفْرَسُ النَّاسِ ثَلَاثَ. The smartest people that have a vision, that have a good hunch of what needs to be done, are three people, in Abdullah's opinion. He said, صَاحِبَةُ مُوسَى الَّتِي قَالَتْ يَا أَبَتِ اسْتَأْجِرْ إِنَّ خَيْرَ مَنِ اسْتَأْجَرْتَ الْقَوِيُّ الْأَمِينَ. He said, the woman of Midian, when Musa came and defended the two women at the well, and one of them told her father, hire him. He is indeed the strong and he is the trustworthy. And she said she only met Musa for what? For a few minutes, but she had a vision. She knew that he's a good man. He said, that's one. وَصَاحِبُ يُوسَفْ حَيْثُ قَالَ أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهُ عسى أن ينفعنا أو نتخذه ولدا. And Aziz of Misr, who said to his wife, take care of Yusuf and treat him well, he may be good for us later on, or he would become our son. So he also saw in Yusuf the good coming in him. And then he said the last one is Abu Bakr حين استخلف عمر. Then Abu Bakr is the third one when he saw what he saw in Umar, is his hunch, is his opinion of Umar is absolutely right. And then Abu Bakr as-Siddiq wanted to tell people, and this is narrated in Tariq Tabari. So some of these stories that the historical facts are narrated in history books, and some of them are narrated in hadith book up to that time. And we're trying to make the distinction because obviously the hadith books, especially Sahih Bukhari, Muslim, and then the nine books of hadith have stronger authentication and considered an authority in religion. However, history books are also well authenticated and well revised, but they still are historical accounting for what happened. So in Tariq al-Tabari, Abu Bakr came upon the people and said, أَطَرْضَوْنَا بِمَنِ اسْتَخْلَفْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ فَإِنِّي وَاللَّهِ مَا أَلَوْتُ مِنْ جَهْدِ الرَّأِي وَلَا وَلَّيْتُ ذَا قَرَابَةً وَإِنِّي قَدْ اسْتَخْلَفْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ عُمَرَ بْنَ الْخَطَّابِ فَاسْمَعُوا لَهُ وَأَطِيعُ. And Abu Bakr came up to people from his house and he said, I did not give the succession to somebody that is a relative of mine, or somebody that I want any other earthly benefit to. And he said, I gave this to Umar ibn al-Khattab, so listen to him and obey him. And then he did this dua. He said, Allahumma wallaytuhu bighayri amri nabiyyik, وَلَمْ أَرِدْ بِذَٰلِكَ إِلَّا صَلَاحَهُمْ. He said, I gave him this without recommendation from the Prophet. He said, I didn't have anything to go by about who should be the successor after me. وَخِفْتُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْفِتْنَةِ. But I was afraid tribulation upon this ummah. وَاشْتَهَدْتُ لَهُمْ رَأْيِي. And I did what the best that I could, what I thought. فَوَلَّيْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ خَيْرَهُمْ. So I gave this to the best of them, Umar ibn al-Khattab. وَأَحْرَصَهُمْ عَلَى مَا أَرْشَدَهُمْ. And the best who will guide them on the right path. وَقَدْ حَضَرَنِي مِنْ أَمْرِكَ مَا حَضَرْ فَأَخْلِفْنِي فِيهِمْ فَهُمْ عِبَادَكَ. He said, so take care of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Help Umar and help the Muslims, because they are indeed your servants. In Tabaqat bin Sa'd, it was that Uthman ibn Affan came upon the people with the letter that he wrote with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and he said, do you give the pledge to whose name is in this letter, in this statement? And everybody said yes. And in one reference that Ali ibn Abi Talib said, no, we do not, unless it is Umar. Unless it, in the name in that statement is Umar's, then we would accept. And then Uthman said, it is indeed Umar. And everybody gave their pledge to Umar ibn al-Khattab. So that was how Umar ibn al-Khattab became the Khalifa and became the successor. And that starts a very bright chapter, a very shining chapter of our Islamic history, 10 years to come, filled with justice, with fairness, with conquest and spreading the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the religion of Islam, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah, to the east and west, to the two largest empires at that time, Persia and Byzantium. As we studied what Abu Bakr said in his khutbah, in his very short khutbah that lasted about a minute, and delineated his strategy and his policies for his khilafah, for his government, Umar ibn al-Khattab also had a khutbah, and he gave also a state of the union, if you will, of what is to happen to the Muslim Ummah. And there has been a conflict among the historians about exactly what was. So there were multiple khutbas. And some scholars said, well, there were multiple khutbas, and different khutbas were, different speeches were reported into the different books. The first khutbah, according to al-Tabaqat, Umar ibn al-Khattab, after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ ابْتَلَاكُمْ بِي وَابْتَلَانِي بِكُمْ بَعْدَ صَاحِبِي. That Allah has, is testing you with me, or you, I'm like something that hit you. And I am being tested with you after my companion has passed. فَوَاللَّهِ لَا يَحْضُرُنِي شَيْءٌ مِّنْ أَمْرِكُمْ فَيَلِيَهُ أَحَدٌ دُونِي وَلَا يَتَغَيَّبَ عَنِّي فَآلُوا فِيهِ عَنْ أَهْلِ الْجُزْءِ وَالْكِفَايَةِ وَالْأَمَانَةِ وَاللَّهِ لَإِنْ أَحْسَنُوا لَأَحْسَنَنَّ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَإِنْ أَسَاءُوا لَأُنَكِّلَنَّ بِهِمْ. What that basically means is, he said that any matter, any affair of the Muslim affairs, I should know about it, and I will give you my judgment with it, and I will do the best I can to give you this judgment. The things that I don't know, I cannot control. And anything that I will do, then I will try to do fairly. And another more important, actually, one of the authenticated khutbah is this following one, which is very important to go over. And Umar ibn al-Khattab has about 7 points that really delineated and gave the course of what his khilafah is going to be like. He got up on the pulpit, on the minbar, and praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said how Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed, and he was pleased with Umar. And how Abu Bakr, his khalifa, passed, and he was pleased with Umar. And then he said, ثُمَّ إِنِّي قَدْ وُلِّيتُ أُمُورَكُمْ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. Then I was given this responsibility over you people. فَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ تِلْكَ الشِّدَّةَ قَدْ أُضْعِفَتْ. That my roughness with you has been softened. He's trying to tell them that his dealing with them, how rough he was with everybody, is now different. He's in a different position. He said, it's not gone. وَلَكِنَّهَا, it's still there, but now it will be directed. إِنَّمَا تَكُونُ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ الظُّلْمِ وَالتَّعَدِّي. It will be on those who transgress and be unjust and unfair with others. وَلَسْتُ أَدَعُ أَحَدًا يَظْلِمُ أَحَدًا أَوْ يَتَعَدَّى عَلَيْهِ. And I will not let anybody transgress over anybody or attack anybody, wrong anybody. حتى أضع خده على الأرض. Until I would put his face on the floor, on his cheek on the floor, and then I will put my foot on the other cheek. This is how I'm going to crush them, those who transgress. حتى أضع قدمي على الخد الآخر حتى يذعن للحق. Until he goes with justice and truth. وَإِنِّي بَعْدَ شِدَّةِ تِلْكِ. And with my roughness this, أَضَعُ خَدِّي. I will put my own cheek on the ground, on the floor. لِأَهْلِ الْعَفَافِ وَأَهْلِ الْكَفَافِ. For those who are honest, fair, and just. وَلَكُمْ عَلَيَّ أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ خِصَالٌ أَذْكُرُهَا لَكُمْ فَخُذُونِي بِهَا. He said, I will give you now my pledge. I will give you things that I will make a pledge to you, that I will do or I will not do, and you are to take me with it. You are to make me accountable in front of you for these. And this is, I mean, in the history of governments, this is, subhanAllah, a revolution. This is an absolute governor in a time when there is really no rules of man, but he is applying the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's putting himself accountable. He's telling, I am your governor, I am your ruler, but I will rule and I'm accountable to you for these things. And here's what I'm accountable to you for. He said, أَنْ لَا أَجْتَبِي شَيْئًا مِّنْ خَرَاجِكُمْ وَلَا مِمَّا أَفَاءَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ إِلَّا فِي وَجْهِهِ. That I will not take anything, any revenue that come to the Muslim ummah. Any revenue that comes to this ummah, I will not take any of it for my own. Unless it is in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unless it's in the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَكُمْ عَلَيَّ إِذَا وَقَعَ فِي يَدِي أَلَّا يَخْرُجَ مِنِّي إِلَّا فِي حَقِّهِ. That whatever comes into my hand, whatever revenue, whatever loot, whatever money I get, that it will come out of my hand in its due right, and in its right position.
وَلَكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ أَزِيدَ عَطَايَاكُمْ وَأَرْزَاقَكُمْ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى.
And you also have a pledge. I will vow that I will increase your benefits in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you have entitlements on this government of mine. That you have benefits and I will give it to you. And I will increase it as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing. وَأَسُدَّ ثُغُورَكُمْ. Another pledge that I will protect you. I will make sure that your borders are protected. الثغور is basically the points of borders in Islam.
وَلَكُمْ عَلَيَّ أَلَّا أُلْقِيكُمْ فِي الْمَحَالِكِ وَلَا أُجَمِّرَكُمْ فِي ثُغُورِكُمْ وَإِذَا غِبْتُمْ فِي الْبُعُوثِ فَأَنَا أَبُو الْعِيَالِ حَتَّى تَرْجِعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ.
He said in the last pledge that I will not throw you in calamities and in positions that he's meaning about the army, the fighting army of the Muslims. I will not put you in a position that of in harm's way where you will not benefit from. And he said, I will not also send you on conquest or send people in the army for a long time where their family will miss them for a long time. And we know Umar had a rule that it will be about 3 months before soldiers have to come back and be with their families, and he would exchange that back and forth, and he was the first to do that. Because the conquest and the fighting on the days of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr were within Arabia, were within the peninsula of Arabia, but on the days of Umar, it spread far, far beyond that. So if people are to go on and not come back until they finish their mission, it may be years before they're actually done
with that army's particular mission. So he invented this rule, and he said the army soldiers are to be with the army for a certain number of days, then they have to come back and be with their families. And then he said, and when you're away, he's talking to the people that are fighting in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the soldiers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, when you're away, then I am in custody of your children and family until you come back. He said, no, this is a responsibility of the government to take care of you and your families until you come back safely. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ. Then fear Allah, servants of Allah. وَأَعِنُونِي عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ بِكَفِّهَا عَنِّي. Then help me upon yourselves to protect yourselves from me. I'm telling you that I'm rough with you, and the way to protect yourself is to do good and not to do injustice. وَأَعِنُونِي عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي. And help me upon myself. Protect me from my own self. How? Umar? He said, بِالْأَمْرِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Then enjoin good upon me and prevent me from doing bad deeds. وَإِحْضَارِ النَّصِيحَةِ. And bring me good counsel. Bring me good advice. Here is the ruler. SubhanAllah, this is what Islam teaches, how to rule and how to govern. I mean, this is the best and most beautiful example of democracy in its best. And that was 1500 years ago almost. And then he said, فيما أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness for me and for you. The legacy of Umar ibn al-Khattab was justice and fairness. Now if you ask anybody in general and any educated person and say, what is Umar ibn al-Khattab was known for? They will say he was known for his justice, for his fairness, for his straight, being straight with haqq, with the truth. And during the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab, there has been many examples to illustrate how just he was and how fair he was. And when we, in this modern type of culture, when we speak of justice, we have a picture of a woman holding a scale and blindfolded, like basically impartial for what's in either scale. Well, let's look at the real examples of justice of Umar ibn al-Khattab. How he did that, how he blinded himself. And he only had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the one that watches over him. And how he followed the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his rule. Some of the stories was that Umar Amr ibn al-As was the governor of Egypt after the conquest of Egypt. And a man came to Umar ibn al-Khattab. And the story, as historians said, that he was a Christian Egyptian. He was a Coptic Egyptian that came to Umar and came to him complaining. And he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, a'idun bika min al-zulm. O Commander of the Faithful, I ask refuge in you from injustice. Umar became attentive and he said, عُذْتَ مُعَاذًا. That yes, you ask in refuge of somebody that will give you refuge. What's his story? He said, سَبَقْتُ بْنَ عَمْرِ بْنِ الْعَاصِ فَسَبَقْتُ فَجَعَلَ يَضْرِبُنِي بِالصَّوْتِ وَيَقُولُ أَنَا بْنُ الْأَكْرَمِينَ. He said, I had a horse race with the son of your governor, Umar ibn al-As, and I beat him. My horse beat his horse. So the son of Amr ibn al-As, the governor of Egypt, he said he took his whip and he hit me with it. And he said, how do you beat me? How can you race me and win? And I am the son of the elite. I am the son of the honorable people. So Umar ibn al-Khattab writes a letter to Amr ibn al-As and he said, bring your son and come to Medina. So Amr ibn al-As brings his son and comes to Medina. And Umar brings Amr ibn al-As, his son, and he said, Aina al-Misri, where is the Egyptian? Bring the Egyptian. And he verifies the story and then he tells the Egyptian, take the whip. Fadrib ibn al-Akramin. and beat the son of the honorable. That son that did injustice to you, that Muslim. And here's the Christian on the other person. I mean, we're talking about justice and fairness that does not look at anything other than just fairness itself. And he said, اضرب ابن الأكرمين. And the one that narrates this was Anas ibn Malik. May Allah be pleased with him. And he said, فضرب. And he said, he took the whip and he started beating the son of Amr ibn al-As. Now, Amr ibn al-As is Amir, is the governor of Egypt. And he said, فَوَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ ضَرَبَهُ وَنَحْنُ نُحِبُّ ضَرْبَهُ. He said, he's keep beating him and we love what we see. Because we know that he was so unjust to this Egyptian Christian. And he said, فَمَا رَفَعَ عَنْهُ حَتَّى تَمَنَّيْنَا أَنْ يَرْفَعَ عَنْهُ. So he kept beating him until he took his rights. And then, only then we were satisfied that he should stop. And then here's what Umar said to this Egyptian person after he took his right from the son of Umar, from son of Amr. He said, اصنع على صلعتي عمر. He said, take the whip again and now beat Amr. Beat the governor of Egypt himself. Amr, he said, يا أمير المؤمنين, and the Masri, the Egyptian person said, يا أمير المؤمنين, إنما ابنه الذي ضربني. He said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, it's only his son that beat me. Amr didn't do anything to me. Why should I beat him? And he said, Amr ibn al-Khattab, look at Amr ibn al-As, and he said, مُذْكَمْ تَعَبَّدْتُمُ النَّاسَ وَقَدْ وَلَدَتْهُمْ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ أَحْرَارًا. He said, when did you make people slaves? And their mothers born them to be free. When did you enslave people? And their mothers wanted them to be free. And Amr ibn al-As, he said, apologizing to Umar, he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, lam a'lam, wa lam ya'tini. He said, I didn't know about this injustice, and the Egyptian did not come to me. He came straight to you. And had he come to me, then I would have done the same thing that you have done. So Amr ibn al-As did not get a beating that day because of that. But here is the justice. Here is the absolute fairness that looks at no color, looks at no ethnic background. And here's Muslim conquerors in a land of non-Muslims, treating those people that have been conquered that way, beating the son of the governor in public for an injustice that they have done, and fearing that and given the justice over the quote enemy or the one of the conquered land. Another story that shows his justice even with his own family. One time outside Medina, Umar ibn al-Khattab walks around and he sees a herd of cattle, of camels and sheep, and they looked healthy and well fed and well taken care of. And he said, for whom is this beautiful cattle, for this beautiful herd? And they said, this is for Abdullah ibn Umar. It's for your son, Abdullah ibn Umar. Abdullah ibn Umar, my son. Bring Abdullah ibn Umar here. So Abdullah ibn Umar comes to his father. And Abdullah ibn Umar is not a spoiled man. Abdullah ibn Umar is one of the scholars of the Ahbar, of this Ummah. He's very well known, very pious person that is an authority in the religion of Islam. And Umar asked his son, he said, Abdullah, min ayna laka hadha? Where is this from? He said, Mahlan. Just easy, Dad. Take it easy with me, my father. He said, this is for me. And I bought it with my own money. And I send it out with the shepherds that I pay them with my own money. And it's just a fair trade that I'm trying to invest in this cattle raising, in this camel raising. And Umar said, yes, you are trying to invest. So when you take your herd out outside Medina, people will say, okay, this is the herd of Abdullah ibn Umar. Let them drink water. This is the herd of Abdullah ibn Umar. So let them eat before somebody else eats. Let them go out before somebody else is out. He said, that does not work. Your cattle is healthier than everybody else's cattle. Your herd looks better than everybody else's. And that's because people are favoring you, even unintentionally. He said, take this cattle, take this herd and sell it. Bring the money to me. So Abdullah ibn Umar does that, brings the money to his father. He gives him a profit, a reasonable profit, and he said, the rest of this large profit is going back to the house of money, to the mu'mins, to the treasury of Muslim. And because he thought that his son's cattle is getting preferential treatment over the cattle of the rest of the people. And during his government, Umar ibn al-Khattab, people were hit with a famine. There was 1 year called Aam al-Ramada. And it's called Aam al-Ramada because Ramada basically is gray color and ashes. And it's called Aam al-Ramada because there was just nothing there. People just didn't find anything to eat. It was basically a year of famine. And Umar gave a vow upon himself that he will not eat grease, butter, anything milk or meat until people eat from that. And then after this year-long, a caravan comes to Medina. And Umar is starving like everybody else. And this caravan had the butter, had the food, and had things that are much needed for the Muslims. So one of Umar's servants had 40 dirham, and he went and bought some food from that caravan. And he brought the food to his master, to his Umar, Amir al-Mu'mineen, and he said, قَدْ أَبَرَّ اللَّهُ قَسَمَكَ. Now you can eat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fulfilled your vow. Here's the food in Medina and people are buying the food. And he said, here's what I bought, and I bought it for 40 dirham. He said, and Umar looked at that and he said, 40 dirham for this? It's too expensive. And obviously it was a year of famine. He said, إِنِّي لَا أَكُلُ إِسْرَافًا. I don't eat expensive food. Take it and تَصَدَّقْ بِهِمَا. Give him away in charity. Give him in charity in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the servant looked at him and he said, why is that? And Umar said, كَيْفَ يَعْنِينِي شَأْنُ الرَّعِيَّةِ إِذَا لَمْ يَمَسَّنِي مَا أَمَسَّهُمْ. He said, how would I care about my subject if I don't feel what they feel? If I don't get the hunger that they get? If I don't get the starvation that they get? How would I really care about their affairs? And then in that particular year, it was narrated in Ibn al-Jawzi, and he wrote a book called Manaqib Amir al-Mu'mineen, a beautiful book about Umar. And he said his stomach would growl with hunger. And he would look at his own stomach and he said, قَرْقِرْ مَا شِئْتْ. Growl as much as you want. فَوَاللَّهِ لَا تَأْكُلُ السَّمْنِ. Wallahi, you will not taste butter or grease or fat food. حَتَّى يَأْكُلْهُ النَّاسِ. Until everybody eats from this thing. One time, another story narrated in Manaqib Amir al-Mu'mineen about Ibn al-Jawzi, in the book of Ibn al-Jawzi. Abdurrahman ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab, his son Abdurrahman, and it's not said whether it's Abdurrahman al-Akbar or Abdurrahman al-Asghar, but Abdurrahman was in Egypt, and Amr ibn al-As was the governor of Egypt, as we know. And Abdurrahman ibn Amr ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab, Abdurrahman son of Umar, was caught intoxicated with alcohol. He drank wine. So Amr ibn al-As has to give the punishment for those who drink alcohol. So he takes Abdurrahman ibn Umar into a house and he whips him in the house with the punishment that is ordained from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Umar ibn al-Khattab is told the news that his son was whipped by Amr ibn al-As, and because he was caught doing this and this. So Umar ibn al-Khattab writes a letter to Amr ibn al-As. Min Abdillahi Umar, from servant of Allah Umar. Now, what do you think this book is about? What do you think this letter is about? Now, he caught his son committing a crime, and he punished his son. Now, it seems like he's done the right thing to do. And Umar absolutely will do the right thing. But here's what he said. He said, from Abdullah Umar ibn al-Khattab, from Abdullah Umar to al-Asi, to the sinner, Ibn al-As. He didn't call him Amir. He said, you are the sinner, Ibn al-As. عَجِبْتُ لَكَ يَا ابْنَ الْعَاصِ. I wondered about you, عمرو بن العاص ولجرأتك علي. And how dare you over me? How dare you beat my son? No, that's not what the letter is about. وخلاف عهدي, and just throw in my pledge.
He said, أما إني قد خالفت فيك أصحاب بدر ممن هو خير لك خير منك واخترتك لجدالك عني وإنفاذ عهدي.
I chose you over the people of Badr. He said, I made you a commander, I made you a governor over Egypt, over the people of Badr, because of your wisdom, because of your good argument for Islam, and because of your sincerity in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَرَاكَ تَلَوَّثْتَ بِمَا قَدْ تَلَوَّثْتَ. I see that you became just dirty with the fortunes that came for you.
فَمَا أَرَانِي إِلَّا عَازِلُكَ فَمُسِيءُ عَزْلِكَ.
And I see that I should demote you and take you away from your post. Well, why is all of that?
He said, تَضْرِبُ عَبْدَ الرَّحْمَانَ فِي بَيْتَكَ.
That you whipped عَبْدَ الرَّحْمَانَ in your own house.
وَقَدْ عَرِفْتَ أَنَّ هَذَا يُخَالِفُنِي. إِنَّمَا عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَانِ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ رَعِيَّتِكَ تَصْنَعُ بِهِ مَا تَصْنَعُ بِغَيْرِهِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
He said, you whipped him in your house, but you whip everybody else in the public square. And you whipped him privately so you wouldn't embarrass him, because you know that he is the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And you wouldn't embarrass me, because my son is committing this crime in public, drinking, and he used to be whipped in public. But you, Amr ibn al-As, did the wrong thing and you whipped him privately.
He said, لكنك قلت, but you said to yourself, هو ولد أمير المؤمنين.
He is the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
وقد عرفت أنه لا حوادة لأحد من الناس عندي في حق لله يجب عليه.
And you know I have no preferential treatment to anybody in the right of Allah سبحانه وتعالى.
فإذا جاءك كتابي هذا فابعث به في عباءة على قتب حتى يعرف سوء من صنع.
If my letter reaches you, send him to me. Send عبد الرحمن, my son, to me. And send him in عباءة, it's on the top of a camel, tied so everybody can see when he is being taken to Medina. And they brought him to Medina, and then he repeated his punishment in public. Because that was the way that his punishment should be in Egypt. And this is how fair Umar was. If we are to count the stories of Umar, really it will not finish. But one very important story, and is very well documented, is now we saw how he is really indifferent to people's religion. He favored the Christian, Egyptian, over a Muslim when it was the just thing to do. He did not favor his own son, whether it's Abdullah in a trade. He did not favor Abd al-Rahman when it is time to punishment. But here he is with the elite of people, that he had no difference. Your status in society makes no difference to Umar. He was truly given example of the blind justice. And that's what happened with the king. King of Ghassan called Jablat ibn al-Ayham. This king of Ghassan, and he was one of the followers of Byzantium, and he declared Islam after he saw the conquest coming towards his way and Muslim just taking one castle in one city after the other in Byzantium. And he came to Al-Medina and wrote a letter to Umar Al-Faruq, may Allah be pleased with him, telling him that he's coming to Medina to visit him and declare his Islam. And Umar became very happy with this announcement. So Jablah ibn al-Ayham came to al-Madinah, and he stayed with Umar, who really treated him very well, and he did what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to do. He said, with the honorable and elite of people, treat them well and give them their due right. And this is what Umar did. He just hosted him very well. And then Jablah decided to go for Hajj from Medina to Mecca. And he went on the Hajj, and during his tawaf around the Kaaba, a layman, stepped on his garment, on the garment of this king. And this man was from Bani Fazara, was a Bedouin Arabian. So this king of Ghassan looked at him and he slapped him, slapped the man, pushing him away from his beautiful garment. So the man's nose was broke with this hit. So this man goes to Umar ibn al-Khattab and he complains about Jabla. So Umar ibn al-Khattab brings Jabla to his court. Now this is the king sitting in front of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said, "Ma da'aka ya Jabla li an tadlima akhak?" What made you transgress upon your brother? Now, there's no kings in Umar's court. He said, "This Bedouin is your brother. What made you do injustice to him?" فَتَحْشِمَ أَنْفَى. Why did you break his nose? And then Jabala said arrogantly that he was very nice to this Bedouin. And if it's not because they were around the Kaaba, then he would do more to him, daring to step over his own garment. So Umar said, لَقَدْ أَقْرَرْتَ إِذَنْ. Then you admit that you did that. He said, إِمَّا أَنْ تُرْضِ الرَّجُلْ وَإِمَّا أَنْ أَقْتَصَّ لَهُ مِنْكَ. That you have two choices now. You either give him compensation until he's pleased with that. Crime. I'll let him break your nose like you break his nose. So Jabala was astonished. He said, وَكَيْفَ ذَلِكَ وَهُوَ سُوقَ وَأَنَا مَلِكَ. He said, how come? And he's a layman and I am a king. What are you saying, Umar? I mean, don't you see who I am? And he said, Umar said this famous word. He said, إِنَّ الْإِسْلَامَ سَوَّى بَيْنَكُمَا. Islam made you equal. Islam made you and that layman equal, you king of Ghassan. And Amir Ghassan Jabla said, لَقَدْ ظَنَنْتُ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنْ أَكُونَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ أَعَزَّ مِنِّي فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. Amir al-Mu'mineen, I thought when I become a Muslim, I'll become more dignified and become more honored than I was during the days of ignorance. Al-Faruq said, دَعْعَنْكَ هَذَا. Don't give me this. Don't give me this. He said, إِنَّكَ إِن لَمْ تُرْضِ الرَّجُلِ اِقْتَصَصْتُ لَهُ مِنْكَ. You have two choices. You either compensate the man or you will be punished. And Jabala said, إِذَنْ أَتَنَصَّرْ. Then I become a Christian again. I'll return to Christianity. I don't want this whole Islam. What is this equality thing? I don't like that. Umar said, no, too late. إِن تَنَصَّرْتَ ضَرَبْتُ عُنُقَكَ. If you become a Christian, you will lose your neck. لِأَنَّكَ قَدْ أَسْلَمْتَ. Because you publicly declared Islam. فَإِنْ ارْتَدَتْ. Then you become a rebellion now if you become Christian. Islam is not a game. It's not something that you play with. You declared Islam, you respect the rules of Islam, or you're going to lose your neck. He said, Jabala knew that he has no leg to stand on. He's not going to go anyway with this Umar ibn al-Khattab, with this Faruq. He said, won't you give me time to think about it? Umar gave him some time. Then Jabala escaped. And he left Medina and escaped to Constantinople. And he lived there for the rest of his life. And there is many poems from him after that, knowing how much he regretted that decision and how much he regretted not listening to Umar ibn al-Khattab. But this was how Umar held justice. This was the Umar of the fair Umar, the commander of justice, and this was his way of government for the time that he spent as the Muslim Khalifa. So I will stop here. The legacy of Umar goes on beyond that. Inshallah, next session we will discuss the freedom. The freedom that we only start hearing about at the time of this modern revolutions of the French and the American and the personal freedom and the rights, the human rights. Umar has a long record of human rights that will inshallah go over. And these rights, Allah subhanAllah, if you read over them, you think that it was written in the 21st century, not in the 20th century. And it's actually went into true application and true respect under Umar ibn al-Khattab. And it didn't remain like ink on paper, did not remain only things to read and hang on the wall. Freedom of opinion, we will go over that. And we will go, inshallah, over many opinions and many reform that Umar did in the Muslim Ummah and reshaping and establishing the rules of this Ummah. And I will stop here and open the floor to your comment, inshallah, and questions. Jazakumullah khair. Yeah. brother said that it seems from the story of Jabala, because he asked Umar for respite for some time to, he asked for bail basically, and Umar gave him that, and he escaped. And Umar, you know, he can escape the justice of Umar, but the justice of Umar was basically done upon this king. He could not walk around the streets of Medina or Mecca for him or anybody else stepping on anybody's dignity and hitting people right and left. And he made an example to other people how things gonna go in this government. Yes, people escape bail all the time and in all government, and there are always criminals that will escape the judgment of human beings. But nobody, subhanAllah, will escape the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't think Umar was defeated, and I don't think the message that Umar sent was distorted by Jabla escaping the actual punishment or the actual compensation. And it's well known in history that he really regretted what he did, and he wished that he stayed with Umar for the rest of his life. Yes, sir. Exactly. I mean, he would, Umar would left him over his own kingdom, over his own city, but he did not want to follow the rules. And these are not the rules of Umar. These are the rules of Islam. And Umar is telling him, no matter who you are, if you are a Muslim and you are under a Muslim rule, you will respect the least important subject of yours. And they are your brothers. And you will sit in front of a court that will treat you the same. Because the whole philosophy of Islam, that we will, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be the same and be equal, whether you're a king or whether you're a slave. And it's all the same for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, suppose. We're trying to do that. Yeah. Sure. Yes. Right. As inshallah coming, trying to really lump some these or organize these stories where it follows a certain subject. We started inshallah with justice and fairness. But Umar's legacy doesn't stop there. And we will see when we come to his record of human right, of citizens' right, how it really extends to Christians, to Jews, and Muslim subjects. And it does not discriminate, differentiate among people. Yes, Jazakallah. Started actually in the Khilafah of Abu Bakr. Did not start in the Khilafah of Umar. The armies were out already. Khalid was sent to Persia. Abu Ubaidah was sent to Sham. And actually there were four armies. And I'm leaving the army and the battles till after we finish some of the legacies of Umar and the accomplishment of Umar on civil levels and on governmental level. And inshallah later on we will be back to our audiovisual aid and we'll show how the Muslim Ummah expanded and why, how things happened and how it happened during the Khilafah of Umar. But we will have first to go back to the initial movement of army during the Khilafah of Abu Bakr. And we will inshallah study that in detail, inshallah. Yes, brother. Yeah. Jazakallah khair. Yes, the question, to repeat the question, was there any, wassalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, direct asking from Abu Bakr to Umar to accept this khilafah? And was there any direct recommendation and discussion between the two of them? And the answer is yes, that has been reported. And here's what the wasiyah is. And it is narrated in the book of Safwat al-Safwa. And maybe we have a few minutes to go over that. And here's the recommendation when he sat down with him. And Umar initially tried to get out of it. And Abu Bakr said that you have basically no choice because this is the responsibility that the Muslims and I will give you. And he was still his Khalifa. So he was giving him an order, basically. But then he gave him this beautiful recommendation and beautiful wasiyah. And he said, first, اتق الله يا عمر. Make taqwa, Umar. Have taqwa, have fear of Allah, have piety. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ لِلَّهِ عَمَلًا بِالنَّهَارِ لَا يَقْبَلُهُ بِاللَّيْلِ. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you tasks during daytime, He will not accept during night. He means that you shall not be busy with worship from serving people. It means you do your obligations, but don't say, okay, I'm going to have 10 months of i'tikaf this year and not serve my ra'iyya. He said that this is duty now on you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will ask you about. وَعَمَلًا بِاللَّيْلِ لَا يَقْبَلْهُ بِالنَّهَارِ. And there are work for you at night, then Allah does not accept a daytime. That means do not neglect your obligations towards your ra'iyya, to your subjects, and do not forget your obligations towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, وَإِنَّهُ لَا يَقْبَلُ نَافِلَةً حَتَّى تُؤَدَّى فَرِيضًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept the additional ibadah, the nafila, until you do your fariḍa, until you do your obligatory work. وَإِنَّمَا ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُ مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِاتِّبَاعِهِمُ الْحَقَّ غَدًا أَنْ يَقُونَ ثَقِيلًا. He said that the scales on the day of judgment become heavy with the deeds of those who have heavy scales, that good deeds, because the work is heavy, because the work is hard. He said that if you think that you're going to fill your scale on the day of judgment with good deed, know that this is a hard deed. It's going to be heavy on you to do it. Scales does not get filled with easy work. He said, so get ready for hardship during this time. وَإِنَّمَا خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُ مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِاتِّبَاعِهِمُ الْبَاطِلَ غَدَى أَنْ يَكُونَ خَفِيفًا. And those who have light scales on the day of judgment, because it was easy for them not to follow the right path, because following the batil is easy in dunya. So he's warning him that if you're going to do it right, get ready for hardship, get ready for hard work. And he said, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ ذَكَرَ أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَذَكَرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ أَعْمَالِهِمْ وَتَجَاوَزَ عَنْ سَيِّئِهِ فَإِذَا ذَكَرْتَهُمْ قُلْتُ لَأَنِّي أَخَافُ أَلَّا أَلْحَقَ بِهِمْ. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He mentioned the people of Jannah, of Paradise, He mentioned them with their best deeds, and He does not mention their bad deeds. So when I remember that, I'm afraid that I will not be able to follow them. Meaning, I remember your bad deeds. The message of this is always remember your sins. Do not always look and say, I did this, and I gave this, and I made this, and forget about your sins, and always be fearful, and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى ذَكَرَ أَهْلَ النَّارِ فَذَكَرَهُمْ بِأَسْوَأَ أَعْمَالِهِمْ وَرَدَّ عَلَيْهِمْ أَحْسَنَهُ فَإِذَا ذَكَرْتَهُمْ قُلْتُ إِنِّي لَأَرْجُو أَلَّا أَكُونَ مَعَ هَؤُلَاءِ لِيَكُونَ الْعَبْدُ رَاغِبًا رَاهِبًا لَا يَتَمَنَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ وَلَا يَقْنَطْ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. He said, and then when I mentioned the people of hellfire وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, then Allah mentioned them with the worst of their deeds and did not accept some of their good deeds. And he said, when I remember that, Abu Bakr is telling Umar, he said, when I remember that, then I would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not be with those. So I'm always hopeful of Allah, and I'm always fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, the abid, the slave, does not hope and wish for paradise, and does not despair from the mercy of Allah. Meaning that if you have too many good deeds, don't think that it's enough for you to reach what you want to reach in paradise. But also if you have too many sins, do not be despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, فَإِنْ أَنْتَ حَفِظْتَ وَصِيَّتِي فَلَا يَكُ غَائِبٌ أَبْغَضَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ وَلَسْتَ تُعْجِزَهُ. Then he said, when you remember my will, then remember death. And you then know that this will reach you, and you will not escape from this day that I'm coming into. And this was the will of Abu Bakr to Umar bin Khattab. Jazakallah khair. We have, inshallah, to stop here for Salat al-Isha. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who hear the best of words and follow the best of it, and to lead us on the path of those who followed the right path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of the guided successors Abu Bakr, Umar, wa Uthman, wa Ali, and the rest of the companions, and those who followed their path to the Day of Judgment. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أذان العشاء. جزاك الله.